Dina and Graham are married. Usually I have more to say, and there's a ton to talk about on this week's Restless Rap, but I'm just going to say that Dina and Graham, wow. Stay tuned for this week's Restless Rap.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rachel Goodman. Whoa, do we have a crazy week? I say that every single week, but Dina and Graham, I started laughing. I couldn't even help myself. Not what I was expecting to have happen. Thank you all for tuning in. We got started a little bit late today because of a couple of schedule changes. But I am very excited to get started. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman. And don't forget to check out at Restless Rap on Facebook. That is where you can get the link for the show and any news. And if we want to talk about Restless Rap and Young YNR during the week, that's a good place to go. We can get some comments going on there. And anyone who leaves a comment on the Facebook group or the page, I will definitely read it on air during the show. So to get started, let's give a couple of shout outs in the chat. We have Charlene. We have Candace, we have Hubby Joe, we have Brittany Duran, we have Ralph Lauren. Earlier, we had a YNR Restless Rap chat going on. So shout out to Candace Mack and everyone who was co-hosting the online version of the YNR Restless Rap in the hours that kind of led up to this. We had Aaron we had a whole bunch of talk on what's been happening this week. So let's get started so we can kind of jump in here. Let's touch on Scott and Abby first, because that had been a major kind of what the show had sort of been revolving around for the last couple of weeks with everything going on with them. We didn't have anything crazy that happened, but basically... Scott, we kind of see that he's trying to get hashtag and he's trying to get away from Abby, and the little, like, you know, conversations that they do have, it's not going so well between Scott and Abby, even though the tension between them is definitely still there. And even they had this kind of like grease moment a couple of times, not just with Abby and Scott, but Abby and Scott, they had this moment where Abby's talking to Ashley and Scott is talking to his mom, and I kind of like the way they did this, where they went back and forth and it was kind of implied that the mothers were asking the same question to each Abby and Scott. And so we were just cutting back and forth, hearing the question and then hearing each of their answers. And it was just kind of amazing. I loved the way they did that. But it's just kind of is awful because they don't know how right they are for each other. And then there's this whole thing with the fact that Abby and Lily are about to go to Paris. We'll touch on that a little bit more when we get to Lily and Kane. But basically, Scott goes to his mom and he flat out asks for $3 million so that he can take hashtag, basically buy it, I guess, and then take it on his own. But it's, you know, basically his mom was like, no, that's not a good idea because you don't really have a name, Scott. And what are you going to do? Like, you have to factor in all these things. So that doesn't work. Scott goes to Devon and tries to get him to buy it, which I also thought was a little odd because Scott is going to Devon with a company that is not his, that's owned by Newman Enterprises. And he's going to, well, I don't really understand what he was expecting for Devon to go back and just say he wanted to buy it. When Devon finally talked to Victoria, that's exactly what she said. This is not Scott's company to try to sell. We have a couple of comments in the chat. Charlene, this is about Dina and Graham. Do you think they consummated the marriage? That would be, oh my God, I don't know. Something tells me no, and something tells me that I don't even know. But it just, Grant, Graham slamming the door in Ashley's face and saying something along the lines of, leave me and my wife alone. Hilarious and definitely not expected. Ralph says Graham poisoned Ashley. She's going back in the mental hospital. Okay, so let's we'll get back to Scott and Abby. More with Sharon than Scott and Abby in a second. But before we do that, let's talk about Dina and Graham here. So we had this whole thing where Jack going into basically try to settle this whole situation with Dina, who has now gone to live with Graham and, well, sort of live with Graham, who, okay, at the beginning of the week, let me backtrack here. Graham comes to the, Abbott residence, and he comes with a court ordered or, some kind of like document that basically says he's taking Dina and he's going because he is the power of attorney, etc. You would have I'm now that we know that he's married to Dina, I'm interested as to the fact that Graham did not play the marriage card until later and that Dina never admitted to anyone that this marriage had happened. Yeah, like she's obviously going through things, but you would think that in her lucid moments, she might have mentioned that little fact a couple, maybe once or twice. Oh yeah, like P.S. I married Graham when I went to Florida. I'm just surprised that never came up. But okay, so it never came up. Graham comes to get Dina with the document stating he can because he's power of attorney. They go. Then we see them later, and they're basically discussing how, Graham's not taking Dina to live with her. He's taking her to a mental facility where he's going to just drop her off and go. And clearly, he's just in it for the money. And Dina is getting very upset, and she starts freaking out, justifiably. And after this happens, it kind of turns into, basically, Graham's kind of just like not shoving her but kind of holding her against her will, getting her all upset. And I thought we were going to have a breakthrough here because I thought this was going to be the moment when Dina was somehow going to have a lucid moment where she realizes, oh no, I shouldn't be here with this man. Of course, as this is happening, Victoria and JT, they're discussing everything with Reed. They see this, they stop it, and then Victoria says, yeah, I'm going to go tell the Abbotts about this, by the way. So luckily they saw it, and luckily Victoria did the right thing and said she was going to go explain what had happened and what they saw. So after this happens with Graham and Dina, we get to the situation in court where they have the judge, and they have this whole thing where basically the lawyer, we have Jack trying to make his case. The lawyer going against them is trying to make it look like basically Jack and Dina didn't have much of a relationship and trying to make Jack look like this bad guy and this bad son. But as this is happening, we have Ashley and Tracy who they end up going to the Winters group, and they're basically looking through the Mergeron files, trying to find something. And I was really curious what exactly they were trying to find and how it could relate, because I didn't know. Like, I guess they were just kind of snooping around, hoping that they would just happen to find something. And they did. They ended up finding Dina's memoir. And I found that very interesting because through this memoir, we see Dina's decline, and we see that she didn't trust this man, and we see a more rational person. It actually made me feel really bad for her. So then, as we have kind of mentioned in the chat, so it's basically we find out that Graham has basically gone in and like messed around with the Jabot lab. He takes some things, and then he goes back, and he's sitting in the suite, and he's going through these, like, little, liquid, whatever it is that they have there, and he goes through, and he's looking at the one that Ashley had told Jack was actually very toxic. So now here's the question. Has Graham been poisoning Dina the whole time? Or as someone said about Graham poisoning Ashley, I'm taking it that maybe Graham has been drugging Dina. I don't know about Ashley, but if you guys have any thoughts about that in the chat, let me know what you think. But in terms of Dina, yeah, I think it's very likely that maybe it isn't that Dina actually has Alzheimer's. Maybe she's being poisoned and she has symptoms that are like Alzheimer's because of what Graham has been doing to her. And I think that in the chat, we have been talking about that before, and a couple of people had mentioned that that was a theory they had. So it's like every week, this Graham guy, he just keeps getting worse and less redeemable. Okay, so let's take a couple of comments in the chat. We have Maxwell Comics. Graham knows damn well he doesn't want Dina. Yeah. First he said he wasn't having a sexual relationship. Now he says they're married. Yeah, the whole thing was just kind of odd. Did you guys feel like it was kind of contrived and that it was kind of written in as just some extra drama? Because it was so awkward and unexpected for me that when Graham got on the stand and said, no, we're married, I legitimately started laughing. It didn't make sense to me. I thought Graham was maybe lying for a second. But then when I saw that, no, that, like, we learned that, yeah, there's actually a legal document. There's a marriage certificate. It actually happened. I was like, what? And like I said earlier, I just can't believe Dina would never mention this. You would think that at some point she would kind of hint at it or something. It just seemed so far-fetched that it happened at all. Simone, Dina cannot even remember the marriage happened. Candace, I have a theory about this storyline. Candace also asked if we were taking calls. So, yeah, actually, if anyone would like to call in, let me give you that number for the Skype, if we happen to have that up on the board, and then I can let you guys know so you can call in. So we can, I'd love to hear your theory, Candace, to see what you think about everything that's been going on. We have Maxwell Comics says, because Graham is not trying to kiss Dina. Yeah, I would say he probably isn't trying to kiss her. Like, I didn't sense any, like, sexual tension between them. It almost, like, I've always heard, okay, even Dina, whenever she's referred to Graham, she's always referred to him as her friend. Even this week, when Graham showed up to get her, Dina kept saying, don't, Jack, don't treat my friends this way. Friend being the operative word in this situation. So I never would have expected any marriage, any kind of like romantic relationship. It seems a little off the wall to me. We have Aaron in the chat. Hey, Aaron, welcome back to the chat. I think I saw you in there earlier. Terrell, don't understand why Mal Young, current head writer, ruined Nick's character the same way that Josh Griffith, ex-head writer, did to Billy back when Billy Miller was on the show years ago. That's interesting. Charlene says, yeah, Nikki is kind of a letdown in character. Yeah, I have things to say. I know that Terrell said something about Nick. And Charlene says something about Nikki. I have a lot of things to say about Nikki after this week, but we'll get there in a second. Candace says, I think Dina and Graham have a deal about Dina's health, and that if it gets bad, then Graham will have to do something. That's interesting. And it would kind of, if Graham is not poisoning Dina, then that would make complete sense. The only thing is that, as we saw in the memoir, Dina obviously didn't trust this guy. So I don't know, like, it's kind of, unless Graham kind of worked something out with her during a moment where she wasn't using the best judgment, the whole thing is just very sad. So, let's see, Simone says, I'm starting to think that to Rachel because she seems to be worse after being around him. Yeah, and that's the thing, is that it's kind of like seeing Graham with that, you know, with the chemicals is kind of what's telling me that he's doing, okay, so even if he's not poisoning Dina, what is he planning? And it would make the most sense if he is planning or has been doing this to Dina all along, where he's slipping this into her coffee, her drinks. It would make sense. And like Simone said, yeah, it seems that Dina is worse when she's around Graham. The only thing I'm thinking too is that if it is poison, since she hasn't been around Graham lately, maybe whatever Graham has been giving her somehow stayed in her system, and she could get better if she's not with Graham. I don't know. Like, that's a really interesting thing we're going to find out over the next couple weeks, I guess. Charlene says, I missed the fire at Underground. I know Dina started it, but why or how? So, okay, what happened was Dina, she first, we had Nick come in and he was all upset. And he was playing around with the lighters, and he lit, I think it was a lantern, or, you know, like a pumpkin lantern, or a pumpkin that was kind of like carved out. And then when Dina got there, she pretty much was holding up, I think it was a picture, and she, I think what happened was she lit the picture on fire and dropped it, and then I think she hit a candle or something, and I think it basically, there had been, I think there was some kind of, like, oil that had kind of splattered around the bar for some reason. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened, and then it all kind of started from there. Aaron said, Scotty couldn't have gotten fired for trying to sell a division that wasn't his. Charlene, Reed is at the ranch, so I'm assuming no one knows about JT and Victoria except them. We'll get to that in a second, because that was an interesting storyline too. Charlene, probably alcohol. I think that's with the fire comment. Yeah, I think it had to do with alcohol. I think someone had spilled alcohol in the bar first, and then Dina was playing around. I think she lit a picture, and that's what happened. But yeah, correct me if I'm wrong on that. Okay, so we touched on Dina. At this point, that's kind of where it ends, with Graham playing around with the potion. So we're going to have to see what happens, because I almost don't know if I buy the marriage thing, and I don't know. Well, yeah. But if you guys have any thoughts in the chat, let me know and we'll read those. The only other thing I want to mention is we kind of have this situation going on still with Ashley and Jack. We kind of saw them sort of put their differences aside, but at the very end of the week, Ashley and Jack at the lab, they were just rubbing each other the wrong way, and the CEO situation hasn't been dropped. And I feel like Ashley and Jack are both wrong in different ways with this. But I think when I watch Ashley and I see how she's reacting to Jack, it feels like if Jack would just kind of meet her halfway, she would probably let it go. But Jack is being very stubborn. Ashley's being stubborn too, though. So I can't say that either one is exactly right. But at this point, Ashley has decided she's going to go through with the arbitration. She called her lawyer again. So that is not looking so good, which makes me sad, because I like when Jack and Ashley are on the same side and not fighting. So, all right, we kind of touched on that a lot. Let's talk about Sharon. So in the chat, if you have any thoughts about Sharon's party, I know Candace mentioned that you guys talked about that earlier in the online chat. So what are your thoughts on Sharon and Hillary and everything that went down with that I'm fine party? So I personally am starting to think Sharon is a little bit crazy. It's just the way she keeps saying, I'm fine, I'm fine. And her eyes are like widening as she's saying this. She is not fine. And I completely understand why she wouldn't be fine. But just the way that she's is acting about this, like it has to be a show. Like she has to prove to people that she's fine, is kind of a little odd. And it sounds like, from what I've heard with the character, it sounds like it is kind of characteristic and that she does do things that can be a little crazy. Did anyone else think that when she leaned in to kiss Nick, that she was actually going to, like, kiss him on the lips? That's what I thought was happening. That's what I was wondering if Nick thought was happening. And then it just turned into a cheek kiss and that was it. But I thought for a second, I thought it was going to be more. And I love the fact that Nick and Sharon are sort of kind of bonding, especially because Nick went out, told her what was going on with Scott. I think that shows loyalty. And I know that Nick has done things to Sharon in the past that weren't so great. But it's like, okay, it's a new year and he's grown. Sharon's grown. I just feel like they're so good for each other that it would make sense if they somehow got back together. So we have Terrell saying, I think Jack should have kept the CEO position for himself. Yeah, I think the thing with that too is that Ashley's very hurt by what he did, saying that he didn't, you have to be a blood abbot to be the CEO. And I get why Ashley would be hurt. Jack has been telling Tracy and other people that he didn't put that clause in for Ashley. He put it in for Phyllis, which makes complete sense. Jack needs to tell Ashley that. I feel like if he actually said that, it might help their relationship and make Ashley feel a little bit better about it. I don't know that she would let it go, but I keep wanting him to have that breakthrough moment where him, Ashley and Jack have this emotional, heart-to-heart conversation where Jack says, Ashley, you are still my sister. It doesn't matter who your father is. You're still my sister, and that clause was not meant for you. And I think he needs to apologize for that. Even if he's going to remain the CEO, I think he definitely owes her another apology, like a very heartfelt apology for that. Candace says, oh my God, every Sharon and Nick fan was so happy when that happened with the kiss. Yeah, that was amazing. Terrell, when will Y&R ever going to do the Me Too movement storyline? That would be very interesting. I would love to see them go in that direction. I feel like they do have a lot of really strong female characters, and I love that about the show. But I think it's very important in this day and age to have some kind of storyline that does speak to the Me Too movement, just to kind of, help people out there and get the message across. Aaron says, I saw a preview that Graham will poison Dina to get her money. So then the question becomes, has he already been poisoning her, or is he planning on just killing her? So that is the question. Candace says, Jack put that clause in because back in the day, Ashley made Victor CEO when he wasn't related. Okay, that makes sense. I think they also said when this came up a couple weeks ago, I think it had also been mentioned about Phyllis too. So I guess it was maybe for both reasons. So Maxwell Comics says, I want them to hurry with Mariah's coming out. I want Mariah to get over Tessa and have her embarrass herself and date some ladies. Aaron, is Mariah a lesbian now? I thought she was bisexual. That's, an interesting question. Well, let's talk about Mariah and Tessa now as we get into this party. First of all, Sharon inviting Tessa, knowing the situation between Tessa and Mariah, and not telling Mariah first, I thought was pretty crappy. Especially Sharon is, supposed to be her mother. I know there's a whole story behind it, but that shouldn't have ever happened. It's one thing to say to Mariah in advance, hey, P.S., I'm thinking about inviting Tessa, the girl that you poured your heart, the woman that you poured your heart out to who didn't have the same feelings for you or whatever it was. It's one thing if she had said it first, but she didn't even warn her. So poor Mariah, Tessa shows up and it's just kind of like a bomb is dropped. So I felt really bad for Mariah. It was really funny, some of the digs that Mariah was making, though, that, you know, obviously was going along with the conversation of forgiveness and emotions and blah, blah, blah. But everything Mariah was saying pretty much had to do with her situation with Tessa. That in itself, with Tessa, makes me angry because Tessa is still trying to be friendly with Mariah after everything that happened. To me, it doesn't make sense. Like, Tessa, it feels like Tessa's not respecting Mariah, that she would just act like nothing happened. And yeah, I get that Tessa's from this crazy back, you know, like this traumatic background where, you know, emotions weren't her strong suit, but it makes me angry that Tessa would continue to do this, especially after Mariah has been so open and said exactly how she feels about her. So I used to be all for Tessa and Mariah. I am not anymore because Tessa has, like, rubbed me the wrong way after the way she reacted to what Mariah was telling her. And that Tessa would continue to date Noah after all this. Yeah, it just doesn't... Tessa rubs me the wrong way. Aaron, she said, this is about Mariah, she said she didn't like girls, that she only liked Tessa. And you know what? It could be, you know, it could just be too that, I think I remember Mariah having a conversation with Kevin where she actually said she had never felt the way, she had never felt about a guy the way that she felt toward Tessa. So it could just be that maybe she's sexually fluid, and that is just, it could just be that maybe Tessa, she had that special spark with her, and that maybe Mariah is still figuring things out too, and that is completely normal, and I don't think Tessa, after everything that's happened, I don't think Tessa's the right person for her, at least not right now. But I would love to see Mariah find someone else that actually is going to be with her and not give her mixed signals, no matter who that person is, but someone that she feels strongly about. Aaron says, right, I can't believe Genoa City has no gay people or bisexual people in it. Simone says, that was the most hot mess party ever. Okay, yes, yeah, so let's talk about the party. So, first of all, like I was saying earlier, the fact that Sharon would have this to kind of show, like she has to prove to people that she's okay and invite Hillary so that the news and the gossip was spread, kind of was like, okay, how old is this person? Like, she is not acting very mature right now. So she has this party. This is my I'm fine party. Hillary shows up, and Hillary's big theme is, oh, let's do forgiveness. Everyone should forgive each other. It's not the female, it's the guy's problem. It's really the guy's fault. So she basically has, first she has Phyllis and Sharon work through their differences, which was so awkward. And then Abby shows up, I guess not for the party. Abby just shows up because she's trying to come talk to Sharon and apologize. And Hillary puts Abby on the spot. And it was so awkward, that whole situation. I'm glad that Abby and Sharon did get through this conversation. It was very awkward, but it felt kind of like satisfying at the end of it because they were able to work through their differences and recognize that, yeah, Scott's really the one who did all this. It's kind of his problem, his fault. But even Abby, she showed more remorse about it than she did during the first exchange. Maybe because the first exchange, Sharon kind of maybe blindsided her a little bit, maybe. So in any case, Abby basically said, yeah, like, I shouldn't have done that. It should have never happened, but then it never should have continued at all. So it was nice that Abby was able to say these things to Sharon. Maxwell Comics, this is about Mariah. Like, I want to see Mariah come into her own. Yeah, I agree. Maxwell, the party is full of women that hate each other. That was the most hilarious thing. Terrell, when will Nick and Chelsea finally tie the knot? Oh, I don't know. I'm still thinking that Adam's going to come back and they won't tie the knot. I don't know, though. What do you guys think about that? Maxwell, Hillary needs to stop. I'm sorry, I changed your word, Maxwell. With the forgiveness crap. Hillary just annoys me beyond belief. Like, every week I think I might start to like her. Like, during the Christmas episodes where somehow she ends up reading her own letter, that made me actually kind of like her. But with this stuff, it's like, it's kind of, like, I get that Hillary's trying to start this new journey or whatever it is she's doing. It just doesn't, it feels so fake. Like, it's like someone coming up to you and saying, you know, that they, you know, they like you, or that, or, you know, like they're, or they're complimenting you, but they're complimenting you in this really, like, phony, fake voice, and it doesn't actually mean anything because they're just a fake person. That's what it feels like with Hillary right now. She's doing all these fake things because she thinks she's supposed to do that, but she's not doing it because she's not doing it for the right reasons. She's doing it to try and be someone different, but that's what makes it so horrible. And I almost like her better when she's not doing all this, because at least when she's being true to herself, even though I don't like the things she does, at least being true to herself doesn't seem so fake. But let me know what you guys think in the chat. Simone, I love Hillary when she is a vixen coming for everyone, but this version of her I cannot like. Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't ever really like Hillary, because when she's herself, it rubs me the wrong way. But I will take her as herself, because at least she's being real. That's better than this fake stuff. We have Maxwell Comics says, how dare Abby come to Sharon's house? Like Abby, it is Abby's fault. It's also Scott's, but Abby still played a huge part. Yeah, and I agree. It does take two to tango, and Abby was aware that Scott was dating Sharon. So yeah, it's not like it was not her fault at all, but I still blame Scott the most, because he's the one that was in the relationship. He's the one that was breaking that trust. Abby and Sharon, I mean, it's not like they were best friends or even really friends, right? So it isn't like, I mean, yeah, it's wrong on Abby's part, but she wasn't breaking a friendship. She was, you know, wasn't, Sharon wasn't really someone she was exactly connected to. Terrell, I know that Abby would have turned 18 years old in 2018, but she's been rapidly aged as a strong and independent 30-something woman. Yes, and that's hilarious. Just as I hear they age most of the children, like Reed. Like, how old should Reed be right now? Like 10? 12? Aaron, Chelsea hasn't slept with Victor yet. Interesting. All right, so we, just because we're running out of time here, so we touched on Scott and Abby and Sharon, we touched on everything with Jabot. Let's talk Lily and Kane, and then let's get into the DUI with Reed before we do our law moment. So just really quickly, I can kind of sum up what's happening with Lily and Kane right now. Lily decided she was going to go to Paris. There was kind of a little bit of debate. She leaves. We had our second Grease moment of the night when Lily goes to see Kane where he's living with Jill. Well, I don't know if Jill's actually there at the moment, but I think it's the Chancellor house. Lily goes there. Kane goes to Newman Enterprises because I guess he's going to try and talk to Lily. At first, he was going to try and ask her, like, he did ask her to stay. They had a second kiss. Then he's talking to JT, and JT says, Kane, you're being a little irrational, considering she's just going away for a little bit. So, first, I'm just surprised that Kane didn't know about this ahead of time, that it was kind of, I mean, at least the way that it's written in, it looks like Lily told Kane pretty last minute. And if they didn't have children, I guess I would understand that. But the fact that they have Charlie and Maddie to worry about, you would think that the kids would know ahead of time, and that therefore Kane would know ahead of time because he has to watch the kids while she's away. So I found it odd that not only was this whole Paris thing, the fact that it was going to be weeks or months that Lily was going to be going away, that they would just tell her last minute. My husband and I were watching this, and we're like, wait a minute. you wouldn't just, like, it's one thing in advance to say, oh, okay, we're going to send you on a modeling gig for a week. Okay, that's advance notice. That makes sense. But to drop it on someone, like, a couple days before they're going to go, that it might be weeks or even months or, you know, oh, you're going to be going back and forth for a long time between continents. That, to me, was a little odd that a company would just do it like that and not give someone advance notice. It was even kind of like, oh, my bags are packed. Lily said something like that. Okay, well, how does she even know what to pack, considering she doesn't know how long she's going? So that was my problem with that storyline. It felt like there was kind of a plot hole there. And then, so I guess Kane and Lily, they're trying to say goodbye to each other. They each go to the opposite location, and then Lily just leaves, which I thought was odd, too, because you would think that before Lily's going to go, she probably would have said goodbye to at least the kids, and that she might have just, oh, you know, used her phone to text Kane and say, hey, let's meet up and talk before I leave. That's what, you know, most people do in 2018, but hey, who am I to judge? So then we kind of end with Kane talking to Billy, and then Kane decides he's going to leave and go to Paris. Great storyline, but okay, what's going on with the kids? So, I don't know, unless Kane isn't going to go yet. This kind of leads us into the DUI with Reed. So, just to kind of talk about this really fast, Reed, first of all, he's not going to go to the court case or whatever it is. He's not going to go to court. He ends up showing up with JT and Victoria, and Maddie ends up going to try and speak on his behalf. And the judge, who was just going to give Reed the minimal sentence, which would have been the fine, doesn't like how Reed reacts to Maddie. He kind of, like, yells at her for, like, even showing up. The judge doesn't like that. So she ends up suspending Reed's license for a year, requiring community service, and it's much worse for Reed. And Reed is acting really spoiled right now. So I don't blame the judge for doing that. I think Reed deserves it. He's just acting way out of line. I don't care if he's a teenager. Like, I mean, I get it, but he's just, it's like beyond spoiled. Considering when we see Reed go to Nikki's and go to the ranch, and he's dealing with Victor and Nikki, and Victor is setting all these rules, like, you have to put away your dishes. It's like, wait, that kid's not putting his dishes away already? Like, just the look on Reed's face, I was like, wait, how spoiled is this kid? People put away his dishes and he's 16? That, I'm like, okay, yeah, he deserves to be there at the ranch right now. And I'm not a huge Victor fan, as you all well know, but in this case, I was like, yeah, go Victor, put Reed in his place. This is like his perfect boot camp, as Victor put it. Nikki, I mentioned this earlier, but I am not a huge fan of how she reacted around JT and Victoria. I like that she brought Reed in and everything, but just the way she was acting with JT and Victoria, I was like, huh. First of all, I definitely agreed with JT more in general with the whole situation, with how he was handling it. And Nikki comes in and she gives JT the hard time when JT, I think, was being a little more reasonable, considering he actually understands what Reed might be going through. I mean, Victoria sounds like she might too, but JT seemed like he was ready to commit and stay and actually work with Reed and kind of help him. So Nikki coming in like that felt like she was, sticking her nose in, basically overstepping. That's what I thought. So I didn't like her in that moment. I'm sure there people are going to disagree with that, but as far as I'm concerned, it was an overstep. One other thing I want to mention before we get to our law moment, JT and Victoria end up getting into this fight, and JT ends up kind of going outside. He doesn't have his coat. Well, more like Victoria shoves him outside and tells him to get out. This is after Nikki, and how basically Victoria got mad at JT for defending himself, which I thought was ridiculous. I was like, no, JT had every right to defend himself. JT's outside, has no coat. I guess he gives it a few minutes to cool off. When we cut back to them again, he knocks on the door, Victoria lets him in, and oh, surprise, surprise, they start making out. And right on the steps, they don't even make it up to the bedroom. So I think they're going to, my prediction is maybe Victoria is going to have another baby. That would be interesting. Maxwell Comics says, such passion. Yeah, such rage. Yeah, I was waiting for it because they've had the sexual, JT and Victoria have had the sexual tension since JT has been back, really, but it's just been building. So I was really happy that it happened this way. So let's touch on the law moment. Law moments. So, okay, it's the girls' party. Phyllis, when they have Phyllis and Sharon kind of talking, Phyllis's comment made me crack up when she was like, that woman put me in a coma. And then Mariah, that was an accident. That was hilarious, is my comment to that. And then when Graham gets on the stand and he goes, Dina Mergeron and I are married, I started laughing so hard, I swear tears were coming out of my eyes. Eventually, after the I'm Fine party, we see Mariah talking to Sharon at Crimson Lights, and Mariah just makes a comment like, so I think they were talking about what Sharon was going to do next. And Mariah goes, so no last minute I'm Fine party, right? Because the last one was so much fun. Yeah, that was pretty funny. And then, this is one of my favorites, when Charlie is talking to Kane about Reed and Maddie, and he refers to Reed as Shaggy. I was like, yep, that's hilarious. So those were my favorite law moments of this week. Maxwell Comics says, when Graham blew that kiss to Dina, I was sickened. Yeah, that was pretty funny too. Aaron, I can't wait to see Reed's new haircut. Yeah, I'm curious what's going to happen. I really want to see Reed kind of grow into a better, less, spoiled kid. So I think that's about it for tonight. So go ahead and we'll wrap up here. My name is Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman, or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman. Don't forget to go over to Facebook too and like the At Restless Rap page, because I always post the links on there, and if we ever have a time change, I will let you guys know there too, so that no one is waiting around for me and I'm not here. Thank you guys for everyone who co-hosted the 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time YNR chat. You guys are amazing. Thank you for being here. Everyone in the chat, Candace, Aaron, Charlene, Hubby Joe, Terrell, Simone, Maxwell Comics, Brittany, and everyone else, thank you so much, and I will see you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.